Hey, everybody. Welcome to a brand new episode of Hey Man, It's Okay. I'm Sky, your mental health poor guide, to help lead us through this crazy world about mental health.
And I'm Ryan, your licensed psychotherapist. And we have a pretty cool guest today. Tell us.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited today. Ryan, first I want to ask you, what do you know about American Ninja Warrior?
I'm sorry to say, not a lot. So I'm going to be educated here today.
Great. I'm so excited because I've been watching American Ninja Warrior since before there was an American Ninja Warrior, back when everything was in Japanese and they went to the Mount Midoriyama. And I've been watching for a long time. And then when American Ninja Warrior came out, it was cool because I could finally understand what was going on and what all these things were called. But I'm no expert. Our next guest is definitely an expert at American Ninja Warrior. And he's such a good person trying to promote mental health. We thought, why not have this guy on? You guys, we've got Jackson Erdos from American Ninja Warrior and just an all-around good human being. Welcome to the show, Jackson.
Thank you guys so much for having me. It's great to be able to share my story, not just through American Ninja Warrior, but also just through talking about it on a podcast like this.
Yeah, man, just to get it out of the way, you're obviously much younger than our normal guests and our normal demographic, but you have really been pushing hard to, you're very mature for someone who's your age. And I'm just really excited to have you on, man, just to talk about your story and talk about what got you into mental health and why you are so adamant about promoting that. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your story?
Yeah, of course. I've been doing Ninja Warrior for 11 years now since I was a kid, and I've been promoting mental health for about 5 years now. I struggled with very intense depression and anxiety from about 13 to 15 years old, and I went
I said that's a tough age.
Yeah, it is, especially you have so many growing parts of your life going from middle school to high school. I went to 2 rehab facilities for depression and then also for substance abuse. So it's definitely been a long road just getting here, but I feel like because I got through it so much and I'm really growing into a new person, I kind of want to make sure people like understand that like you can get through something and like it's not like a forever issue and like your temporary problems, it's never like a permanent solution is never the answer. And people like say that, but then sometimes kids don't really listen to it. So I feel like having me at the ripe age of 18, and sometimes, I mean, I started promoting when I was 14. So like having someone this young that can talk to the youth like I do is like, I think is super beneficial just to like promoting mental health awareness.
Yeah, absolutely. I first suffered depression probably when I was like 9-10 years old, and really didn't feel like anybody heard me. And it really wasn't until I saw my first therapist at 13, 14, that I finally felt like, I don't know, that someone could relate to me. And gosh, if I had somebody your age to look up to at that time, just even on a podcast like this or through social media, what, how big of a difference that might have made. So it's really special what you're doing.
Yeah, of course. I coach a team of over 50 kids at my local gym that I'm at. And I've been coaching for so long now, and what I've discovered is like being able to catch these issues like early in like youth and youth sports, especially like being able to instill to them that like your identity is not based off your performance. It's based off your experiences and like the people you affect around you. That's so important to me because a lot of these kids, like if they fall on an obstacle or they don't do well in a competition, they'll get so down on themselves. And that just creates the way you see yourself. So if they do bad and will always see themselves as not good enough, then that's going to rub off into like your personal life, whether it's like relationships, your family, like just friends at school, like being able to kind of overcome obstacles like on and off the course is what like I'm trying to do.
What was it that, how did you first get involved in American Ninja Warrior? I didn't even know there was this long Japanese history to it. Sounds fascinating.
Yeah, of course. I started 11 years ago. So the gym that I currently work at, the Gravity Forge, on its opening day, my mom found it on a website that it was opening up. So we went. I was rock climbing a year before that. So I love swinging and climbing on things. And I was 7 years old at the time. And I absolutely loved it. I loved the obstacles. I loved challenging myself. So I kept doing it. And then the next year I had my first competition and I was 8 years old. But they only had an age group for 9 years old to 12 years old. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to compete anyway, see what happens. And I got 3rd. So I was really happy with it because everyone else was so much older than me. I started to realize that I was good at this competing thing. So I kept doing it. And the better I got, the more I just fell in love with it. So because of that, I just kept competing at a higher level. And then eventually got on the kids TV show. I took first place on American Ninja Warrior Jr. And that took me to the bigger TV show. I won multiple world championships now outside of the TV show. And yeah, it's been a wild ride. I like can't imagine. If I told 7-year-old Jackson all the like the feats and all the places I would go, I'd be like shocked. Even 3 years ago, if you were to like tell me what would happen in these last couple of years, it's like inspirational, honestly, because like I just never imagined I would be here.
Man, you're 18 and already talking like this. A lot of kids maybe your age haven't even gotten on a plane probably or traveled to another state.
Yeah, first.
So it sounds like you were doing really well, even at 12, 13. What was it that kind of turned for you? And maybe tell us a little about kind of what happened there.
Yeah, of course. So I think there's so many things. Like when you think about it, like no one situation can determine what's going to happen in your life. And I think it was just a mix of a bunch of things, just growing, just like the pressure of being in such a like high level of a sport. Like I was 13 competing against 25-year-olds. And I think some of that pressure went into my real life. And I don't remember the exact time, but I started going to therapy because I was like, this just isn't it for me. Like I wanted some sort of solution. And I did struggle with multiple suicide attempts at the age of 14 and then early 15. And what I realized multiple times was that like, I just like really wanted to get better. And I didn't think there was really any hope. And I remember what really turned the point for me, because I checked myself into rehab. I told my parents that I wanted to go get some more help because I was already in normal therapy. And I was at a competition, like one of my first professional competitions, and I got third place. And I was very happy about it. I had a great day. And then an hour later, I was feeling incredibly suicidal. I felt so happy for a very short amount of time. And I realized that like, Ninja wasn't really like doing it for me anymore. Like it was making me temporarily happy, but like I needed to reflect on my own identity and really like focus on what behind the scenes I can fix and then come back to Ninja Warrior when I was in a better headspace. So I told my dad that I wanted to go into residential treatment. So I was there for only about 2 weeks because I realized that I wanted to get back into the real world. But it was like life-changing for me. That was my second time going into a rehabilitation facility. And because of that, I came back and was like, all right, this is like a whole new me now. So I went into another PHP facility and was there for about 3 months. And that is what did it. I started getting back into Ninja Warrior more for the love of the game than to get like the accolades and success. And I think that's what really did it, because I started enjoying myself inside of the sport. And then I started really enjoying the things around me more. Like I started picking up new hobbies, just spending time with my family. And I think going from 14 years old to 15 years old was like Jackson 1.0 to Jackson 2.0.
Not a lot of people, I think, have a real identity crisis at 13. But man, it was that sort of same identity crisis that I went through, that I had my suicide attempt and went through 3 years of depression. I had this sort of storied high life of a Vegas nightlife host. And for physical things, my hips, I had to get two hips replaced, a spinal fusion. I was in bed, dependent on opiates. And it was going into the psych hospital after the attempt that turned it around for me and made me want to do this. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a wake up call. Like you don't, like it's never really what it seems. Like sometimes going into a psych facility, like isn't necessarily like the specific help you're getting inside of there, but it's more like a reset. Like you go in, you start thinking, okay, when I get out, like I'm not just going to come here and get out just to be depressed again. Like when I saw it as so much motivation, because honestly, like, man, I'm so grateful that I'm here right now. Like two of my closest friends from PHP and residential, I lost both of them to suicide, like my very two closest friends. And like knowing that like I can live on and carry their legacy on right now, because I was one of the lucky few that made it out when some people lost their lives like after. So being able to kind of live on and have them continue on through me is what is also keeping me going now.
I just want to commend you for having such a positive attitude after losing two people like that, because that's heavy at any age. But when you're young and they're super young, man, it's just so hard. So I just want to ask, you are obviously in the athletic world and you care so much about your mental health and the mental health around you. How do you bridge that gap where like men are afraid to talk about their feelings in general, let alone in the athletic world? I'd love to know what keeps you going? What keeps you pushing this message?
Yeah, definitely. It's intimidating sometimes. Like, there have been multiple times, like, I'm just a very emotional guy. So there have been multiple times where I've, like, when I first won, like, the pro world championship, I was bawling my eyes out of, like, just joy. And, like, being able to show that emotion and also be open about my story with mental health, like, they're both connected because, like, it's scary to show, like, all of your cards on the table and just show how emotional I really am. But at the same time, like, most people are, like, going through similar things and just aren't really willing to talk about it, whether it's, like, depression or just a little bit of anxiety or a little bit of sadness. Like, they will turn to themselves, go into a corner, isolate themselves, and then let all that emotion, whether it's good or bad, out. When, I don't know, I think I want to get straight to the point. I want to show people that it's completely okay to feel this way. And if you are really sad about your performance, like, if you want to cry about it, or in a good way, if you want to shed a couple of tears, take some time for yourself, that's completely fine. It's not like you have to, like, toughen up and be a man. That's not what it's about. Like, I'm just gonna say, I'm one of the best in the world at this sport right now, but I'm not afraid to cry my eyes out in front of millions of people on national television. So, like, I will show everything that I'm, like, feeling, because that's what I think everyone else should do in their own lives.
I think it creates an authenticity. And I think that's what draws people to other people, is their authenticity. Do you find 100%. Do you find more people who are willing to be open and willing to talk to you as you share your story more?
100%. I've gotten so many messages from people, and it's changed my life, because there have been, like, TV show hosts that I've never met before that have messaged me. I don't know how they have my phone number, but they've messaged me, hey, like, my dad just took his life from suicide, and, like, seeing your story really changed my perspective on it, and you're changing so many people's lives. And on top of that, there have been, like, role models of mine that I've looked up to since I was literally 7 years old that are, like, in their 30s and asking me for advice on, like, their friends that are struggling with suicidal ideation and, like, depression. And I can't believe it, honestly, because, like, I think people are gravitating towards me because they can relate to me and because I'm being honest about it. But, like, whenever I get those messages, it, like, changes my whole perspective. It makes me want to keep promoting mental health, because knowing that I'm actually saving lives out here is, I don't know, it's better than any obstacle or better than any competition. Like, it's amazing.
That's so cool. How do you think you got the insight? Was it the help from your therapist to, on your own, be able or want to check yourself in and get that help? There's so many people I've worked with over the years that will first refuse that they have a problem or deny it, much less take pretty serious action to stop their lives for a month or so to really get back on track.
Yeah, of course. What I've been doing for over a decade now is overcoming obstacles. So I feel like when I decided that I wanted to take a longer form of, like, rehabilitation, I think it was because I knew that this was just an obstacle. Like, when I did do my suicide attempts, I don't think I wanted to take my life because I thought it would never get better. I think I did it because I thought, like, I just couldn't deal with it in the moment and that I wanted it to be over right now. And what I know now is that the help you can get can actually fully change you. And I think that, like I said, that's an obstacle I wanted to overcome, because I knew that, like, if I just took action and really locked in, that I could just, like, reinvent myself. So yeah, I think it's just, like, being able to take accountability, and, like, I wanted to do it because I wanted to be better. I was, like, having the success in Ninja Warrior, and it wasn't, like, paying off in my real life. I wasn't getting happier from it. So I wanted to be able to experience these, like, wins and these successes in Ninja and really feel it. I wanted to actually experience it without having the depression and the anxiety behind me. So I think I just wanted to start my new life.
I was just thinking about how you have this great positive attitude, and yet you're absolutely one of the best in the sport. And I think for so long, we've been shown that greatness, like Michael Jordan or Kobe, you have to be this, like, incredible man of steel and be an asshole too, to actually be truly great at something. And I think, I don't know, even Shohei and some of the, I'm a big Dodger fan, all right, and somebody like you are showing us that you can still have true greatness in a physical, in anything really, and also still be in touch with your emotions, still be kind, caring, empathetic. It's cool to see.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to put this into words, but I think, like, mental toughness isn't connected to like physical toughness or like emotional toughness. They always say in sports, you have to be mentally tough, but like people don't really know what it means to be mentally tough. Like it's about staying cool, calm, and collected, not about being like this super masculine guy that like has to win everything. Like you can try your absolute best, show all your emotion, and that's what makes you mentally tough. It means like being able to overcome adversity and not let stereotypes or the outside opinions or the outside voices like really define who you are. If you're like changing yourself and changing your identity because of other people, I don't consider that to be like mental toughness. I consider it being yourself and being unique to yourself.
What's it been like to balance? I imagine there's some form of kind of celebrity and fame, and you get to travel a ton. People look up to you. You're coaching 50 kids. Just that all alone is a lot of pressure. It can make us believe we're greater than we are, and then it all comes crashing down. I couldn't imagine that that's had been a lot to handle.
Yeah, it's been a lot, especially in the past like year or so. I was on season 14 of American Ninja Warrior, but season 17 is really where things started to kick off. And that was around the same time I won my first world championship. And I think going through the experiences I went through when I was a little bit younger made me prepared for some of this like newfound, I don't want to say fame, but like just people, more people knowing who I am. And I think it has been a lot of pressure. And there have been days where like I was not feeling it. Like I've thought back to where I was like years ago. And then I've looked at myself like maybe a week or two ago, not actually a week or two, being like, I'm starting to feel a little bit depressed and like I'm not feeling too well. But I also realized that things pass. Like temporary feelings will go away just if you just accept that they're there. So it's been a lot, and it's a lot of pressure, but also like I'm enjoying it. I'm so happy that I'm just alive today. And like to think that I would get this like newfound fame, if you were to tell me that when I was at rehab or when I was like trying to take my life, I would change everything. I would change everything for the better. Like I would make sure that I live to see 18 years old, but now I'm living to see the like 80, 90, 100 years old. Like I'm in it for the long run because I'm so grateful just to be here now. And the newfound fame is, I don't know. I can't even put into words. I'm so happy about it.
That's great. I saw you in an interview. I'm not sure how long ago it was, but you said something that really stuck with me. And I just want to bring it up here because I think it's so important to remember. And I just want to hear what your thoughts are on it. The quote was, I climbed a mountain and it didn't take 30 seconds. It took 2 years.
Oh, that was,
dude,
I'm
even saying it gives me chills. It's so good.
I remember I was talking to my dad and I said that to him because we were trying to figure out we were just talking in general about my life and my experience. And he was like, oh, you got to put that in an interview because it's like inspirational. So
I'm so glad you did.
On American Ninja Warrior, at least a few years ago, in order to win the whole thing, to get $1 million, you have to climb a rope. And it takes 30 seconds. And I feel like I said earlier in this episode is like my whole thing's overcoming obstacles, but like life is one crazy obstacle. And especially like mental health, it doesn't take, you can't just be happier. You can't just snap your fingers and everything's going to go away. Like you have to endure some of that like pain and some of that struggle, especially for me with substance abuse. Like there have been times where like I have thought about like using again or thought about doing stuff like that. But being able to sit with that and like really wait and see where it takes me and endure some of that struggle and withdrawal is so incredibly like life changing. Then you're going to look at it like years and years later and being able to see new problems come about and get through the problems because you had some experiences when you were younger. It like, it makes you so much stronger, like just mentally.
Was it opiates?
No, it was alcohol and weed. I'm a teenager, so it wasn't anything crazy. It can be crazy. It has gotten crazy. Not for me, but it was something. It wasn't anything super intense, but it was something that I knew was just weakening my life.
Yeah, and it has to also affect your performance, I imagine, too.
Yeah, it's so weird. I don't usually get into this, but I guess we're doing it on the podcast because it's weird for me to talk about it. But that was the biggest thing that it weakened my mental health so much because I was doing it and then I would see it weaken my performances. And that was what made me so depressed and anxious about it because I wanted to keep doing it. But then it was affecting my competition so much, but I couldn't stop. So it was an endless cycle of like, I would do it and then I would feel sad and then I would compete and I would feel sad. And then everything else would just circle around it. So being able to stop that and come to a point where I understand that, who knows, maybe in years and years to come, it can be recreational and stuff like that. I've accepted the fact that you can get, I can control it, slowly, maybe if I wanted to get back into it, I could, but it's more, it was just so unavoidable when I was younger. I couldn't stop using. So because of that, it just got worse and worse.
And I really do appreciate you talking about it. I think there's a lot of people suffering from substance abuse that don't talk about it, even with my clients in here, a lot of times they don't want to speak about it. And I know that it's one of the things it probably is the thing that's hindering them the most. And it really, like you explained, this vicious cycle, because it can be this amazing coping mechanism that it just washes all the pain and suffering away. And yet at the same time, we're stealing all the energy, effort, and good thoughts that come from tomorrow. 100%.
And it's so hard to talk about sometimes, because some of those things, especially when you're a kid, obviously, because it's not legal, you get judged, honestly. It's very, talking about it, you can catch a lot of people that are judgmental about it. And especially in my sport, people are seeing me as this super strong athlete. And when you think of an athlete, you don't think of some of the things that go on behind the scenes. If you looked at my performances and my competitions, you would think that I'm completely healthy, not depressed, not using. And so it's hard to talk about that, because people are assuming that I'm this perfect guy and that everything is good. And then, I don't know, it's definitely weird.
That puts a lot of pressure on you for sure, trying to live up to that expectation. Obviously, you had to have a pretty solid support system behind you. And it sounds like your parents have been pretty active as far as that goes. So why don't you tell me a little bit what it was like talking with them about your struggles, and then how they've supported you, or the circle who you've built around you who've supported you through this journey? Because I know that no one could do this alone.
Yeah, man, I don't know. I love my parents so much. And just thinking about them got me through all the dark times I was in. I'm tearing up right now just thinking about it. My parents were my number one supporters. They helped me so much, especially when I was getting back into my real life, after getting through rehab. And man, it's hard for me to talk about because of how much they care for me. And I think without them, I definitely wouldn't be here, because my dad struggled with depression for 10 years between 35 and 45. So not when he was younger. So it was pretty recent for him. And he was able to really help me and give me his perspective, because he was in a similar spot pretty recently. And it was different on the other hand with my mom, because my mom was going through this for her first time. She was rolling with the punches as I was. And there were times where me and her, if we didn't get along or we got into an argument because we just didn't see eye to eye, and it would be temporary and we would get through it. Some of those connections I made with my parents through that will completely shape my life for the rest of my life. And it's crazy. My parents, just especially my mom and my dad, I would not be there without them, and I'm super grateful for them. And now it's so easy for me to talk, especially with my mom, about my issues I'm going, in my stress and my anxiety, because we're all masters at this now, because we've been through this so many times. So it's now I have an even bigger support system with them, because we're all willing to talk to each other about what's going on.
And that made all the difference, your ability to speak up when you need it the most. And I know, again, so many people would have either been overcome with shame, or their parents would have been so judgmental that they just keep hiding it from them. And then it just keeps becoming a bigger problem.
Yeah, definitely. I feel, and I'll get into my other support systems with my friends and my students, but I would definitely want to touch on my family first, because it was you're totally right. I was sometimes afraid and ashamed to tell my parents about my drug use or my depression, my self-harm. But I think as time went on, they understood that all of this was just a small step on the road to recovery. If things got bad with my mom or my dad or anyone, we would just give it some time and then look back on it and really try and learn from it, because it was just, everything was a lesson from that 3-year span. Every single thing, it might've gotten dark, it might've gotten good, it might've gotten bad, but it all shapes into where I am today. And yeah, just yapping now, I'm just saying random things, cause I'm just, I don't know. I love my parents. That's all.
That's gotta be so cool to have that support system. Do you find now that you guys are much closer, do you find that it's easier to not just for them to come to you when they notice something happening, but for you to go to them and be like, hey, it doesn't seem like you're operating at 100%. Is there anything do you find yourself doing that with them now? And with
1,000%. Even I'll talk to my mom and my dad about how they're doing and like how their mental health is. But especially there are times where I'll have a panic attack. Like anxiety and depression it doesn't just go away. Like it can come back. You can have an off day or an off week. And my mom she can tell. Like I'll just be talking to her and I'll be speaking a little slower and quieter and like avoiding her. And she'll ask me what's up. I don't know. Like college is something I want to do at some point in my life. It's incredibly stressful to try and apply and get ready and figure out what you want to do. And like my mom even caught me like a couple weeks ago being like, do you want to talk about this? We sat down for an hour just talking about like where my future can lead me and like where all this stuff is going. And they are so good at communicating with me. They're my blood. They're like my flesh and blood. So they know me better than anyone now, especially with all the issues I went through. So like we have a newfound like form of communication now, especially like when I'm not feeling well.
Tell me how that carries through to these kids that you coach.
Yeah, of course. So that was my second support system was my students, because there are some kids that like I will be more proud of than like myself when I do good at a competition. Like the feeling I've gotten to coaching people and coaching kids at like world championships, like it's so gratifying. And like being able to turn to them when I'm not feeling well, like I'm not going to tell them that I'm like super depressed or like that I like am struggling with self-harm or any of that. Obviously, they're 10. But I'll be able to put all of my effort into them, really focus on what they're going through, whether it's a physical obstacle, whether they're upset that they can't do something. And like being able to see them overcome their obstacles makes me so much more happy and so much more joyful. I want to coach till the end of my life, till I'm like old and in a wheelchair or whatever. I want to keep doing this because being able to like impact others has helped me so much. I think that's why I started promoting mental health, because I was coaching beforehand and realized that like I was making a difference in people's lives. And like, it's looking back on it, it's like the greatest experience. It's such a wild ride. Like competing and coaching, like connected it helps me so much.
I wish more people knew the value of how much helping others helps ourselves. And I really believe like we're put on this earth to serve and that's our true purpose. And man, like it's truly my clients that keep me going, that give me so much fulfillment in my life, that I have the ability to help make an impact when somebody's going through the worst time in their lives.
Yeah, like it happens now, but like even back then when I was coaching, I would have a horrible day. I would like, maybe I would like just get into an argument with someone, or I would even self harm. And I would just be like, you know what? Okay, I'm going to go into the gym. I'm going to put all this aside, put all my effort into these kids. And I'll walk out of that gym with a smile on my face 100% of the time. Like being able to impact these kids it's life changing for me. It was another reason that kept me going. I think I wanted to go to rehab and I wanted to come back like fresh and just ready to coach and ready to connect with these kids again. Like even when I was like struggling with my like suicidal ideation, like those kids helped me keep going, because like I didn't want to leave them. Like that was a big thing that I wanted to recover so bad, because I didn't want to never see these kids again.
What are some of the either coping mechanisms, or I imagine whether it's dealing with the competition or being there for the kids, have you been taught some great coping mechanisms, and what are some of your go-tos?
Yeah, of course. It's Ninja is my whole life. Training is like so beneficial to me. Like I will have a rough day and need a coping mechanism. I'll just go into the gym and just work on something new. I'll build something, or being able to use like creativity. I think in anything you do, whether it's like drawing or listening to music, making music, cooking, like all those are coping mechanisms, because you enable like creativity into your life when sometimes things seem really gray or dull. And like, for me, doing obstacles and like just having fun doing Ninja Warrior, like really got me through some of the dark times, because like I was able just to enjoy what I was doing. On top of that, I listen to so much music. Sometimes music can make me more sad if I'm listening to something sad, but I'll try and put on something nice. And then like, another, like I'm obsessed with going to the movies. I'm a nerd at core. So I'll like maybe just go to the movies even by myself, just do things, kind of take my mind out of like reality and just put myself somewhere else. But mostly Ninja, because I started when I was 7 years old because I loved doing it. So being able to come back and do obstacles and just enjoy what I'm doing got me through a lot of my hard times.
Yeah, cool to see. So where do you think, I know before the podcast, we talked about you possibly becoming a therapist. And after talking to you now, there's most people I would say don't become a therapist. I would totally tell you to follow your dream there. If this doesn't take you for the rest of your life. But yeah, what are some of your future plans?
Yeah, I've My dream since I was a kid was to open up my own Ninja Warrior gym, being able to open up something that's my own and like really create a foundation, like create new like young athletes doing Ninja Warrior. But also, yeah, going through what I went through, like I would love to help people with mental health and like with like suicidal ideation and stuff like that. I definitely want to be a therapist too. I don't know. There's so many. It's so conflicting. Maybe I'll try and do both. But I want to stay connected to Ninja Warrior for the rest of my life because I don't know. That's my entire life right now. Like I did the math and from Monday to Friday this week, I'll be in the gym for 60 hours. So I'm here all the time and I want to keep job. Doing it. What is that? Yeah, it is a full-time job, honestly. Just nonstop working. So I definitely want to keep doing that. College is stressful and scary, but I also want to experience that. I feel like I'm gifted the opportunity to be able to go to college. A lot of people aren't given that opportunity and I would love to experience it. But also I traveled to Germany and Barbados within the span of 2 weeks this year. And there's who knows where this sport's going to take me. It's slowly getting its way into the Olympics. It's going to be in the 2028 modern pentathlon. And then hopefully 2032 might be its own thing. I would love to just keep competing. If I could compete professionally, I would. I guess like a full-time job because the biggest players in the MLB getting paid millions of dollars. When if I get paid $1,000 for winning a competition, I'll be happy. So as the sport grows, hopefully more money will come into it, more sponsorship. But I want to stay involved, that's for sure.
So what you're saying is we're looking at a future gold medal winner.
I don't know. Yeah. I feel like when people are world champions, they usually end up being gold medalists.
Yeah. I feel hopefully. Like you're absolutely right with that. Jackson, this episode is going by so quickly. I can't even believe it's been over half an hour. I want to ask before we get too far, I want to ask about the shirt you're wearing because I know we talked about that before, but that's been really important for you.
Yeah, of course. So I've had a couple of like iterations of my shirt and this one I love now. I've sold, I think 150 copies now. So there's 150 people promoting my message. So I'll turn around and show the back, but JE, those are my initials, Jackson Erdos. And on the back, we got, it says 988 and you matter. I don't know if, could you guys see that wealth?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So obviously 988 is a suicide prevention lifeline and it's been amazing to see like kids in their school, like they'll see signs of 988 at school and they'll already know what it is because of just like me sharing my story. And then you matter because obviously like people don't understand that like they make a difference in other people's lives. And I think that's what got me through a lot of my hard times, was understanding that I was helping people. The O in you matter is my gym's logo because ninjas, big part of my life. And obviously my shirt is, most people that buy my shirt are usually involved in Ninja Warrior. But yeah, it's honestly a great cause. I donate 10% to the Willpower Foundation. It's a local Philadelphia suicide prevention organization. And I've been working with them for 2 years now. So being able to give money towards them to help them with their cause, they just did a walk with over 300 people. It was amazing. And we're looking to do more events like that in the future.
The awareness walks for like out of the darkness type of thing. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's been like really cool to see people that are also struggling with mental health and will go on those awareness walks and just walk and talk. And it might not seem like it's making a big difference, but like hundreds of people gathering to talk about mental health, is it does help, because then if I share my story with someone else, they understand more about other people around them. And like they're going to view other people's emotions a little bit differently because they talk to people that are struggling with mental health. So it's so much more beneficial than just walking. It's way more than that. We walk for the people that lost their lives to suicide. And I think that's so important.
How important has finding that community been to you? Not just the Ninja Warrior community, but the suicide awareness community.
Yeah, it's been amazing because I feel like it's actually like my story is impacting people, but also it's like truly saving lives now because I'm putting my story into like real organizations and people that have a big, like they have a lot of pull in society, in my community. So like being able to connect with them and also like share similar experiences that we have with like mental health and depression, it's been helpful for me too. Like being able to talk to people, especially when I was in rehab and like in therapy, like being able to talk to people that also struggle with depression and anxiety is super beneficial for me and them.
I absolutely love what you're doing, man. It's so cool. It's so cool. Do you have a social media team or are you doing all this on your own?
I'm mostly doing it on my own. Hopefully, if he's watching this, I do have a marketing guy that I'm slowly working with, who's just one of my buddies. He's 16 or 17. I don't even know. But he's just one of my good friends. But I mostly do it myself. I like being able to have my own control over things. If you look at my Instagram, I'm way more messy than other people. So just because I have a big following, like, I'm still going to post random crap on my Instagram and just like funny stuff. Because I don't know. I think, like you said, like earlier, the reason why people gravitated towards me is because I was authentic. So like on my Instagram, I try to be as authentic as I can. Hopefully as the sport grows, I might need to be a little bit less authentic on my social media because I got to get some more sponsorships. But yeah, I've picked up a couple sponsorships through social media. So I'm super happy about that. But yeah, do it mostly myself. And you can tell based off what I'm posting.
Life is messy.
Yeah.
And I think social media is one of the biggest reasons that we all have to hide what's really going on with us.
Yeah. And I think like social media, like that's another thing that I was thinking about when I was just thinking about what I wanted to talk about on the podcast is that like social media just changed mental health so much for the better and worse. Like my sport is all around the country and I'll travel across the country. So most of my friends are not 10 minutes away. They are multiple hours of a flight away. They're all across the country. So being able to connect with them over social media is super good. But also people that are new to social media they might get judged or might get like something that's mean or a hurtful comment or something like that. Like being able to talk about that as well. And like people going into social media and taking something good away from it is super important because you can easily take something bad from social media. And a lot of kids in Ninja Warrior have social media when they probably shouldn't because they all want to look at what obstacles and what cool Ninja Warrior moves are going on. But then it becomes a competition. I want to post this. I want to be better than this person because I'm watching them do all of this cool stuff. So it definitely creates a stigma around like youth sports. So it's definitely interesting. That's all I'll say.
It's definitely a double-edged sword. I think it has done some good, but man, it's also created a lot of problems. And I really worry for your generation who hasn't lived a life necessarily without it and doesn't know really anything different.
Yeah, definitely. And especially, honestly, I think it's the generation after me as well, is because like we were the first ones that were always on our phones. I'm a victim of a lot of screen time. I can say that. And I think the generation below us see that as completely okay now because the people that they were looking up to were also always posting, always doing social media. So I think now it's like creating this thing where it's, oh, I'm 9 years old. I should have an Instagram. When that's scary, honestly, like there a lot of bad things happen on social media. So like I'm also worried. I think that's why parents are so strict about like screen time and being on your phones and stuff like that, because like it definitely creates a lot of pressure seeing like people on social media and wanting to be like them.
Yeah. And so much of it is driven by, they know how to push our buttons. I'll say that.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Definitely. Yeah. 100%.
Wow. Jackson, man, we're getting close to the end of this episode. I just want to check with you. Is there anything else that you want to make sure it gets out to the world? And then also tell our listeners and viewers where they can find you and follow you.
Yeah, of course. I don't know. I really appreciated coming on here. I've talked about my mental health struggles before in my story, but never this in detail. And I think like being able to get this out there into the world and into my own community, if they're watching this, is definitely like super important because I haven't really had a big outlet to really dive into what's been going on in my life. And yeah, we just finished filming season 18 of American Ninja Warrior. I can't say how I did or any of the results from that, but you can tune into NBC the summer of 2026 to watch all that. It's going to be a wild ride. You can catch me on Instagram, jackson.erdos, and TikTok, jackson.erdos. And yeah, I post amazing things. It's really cool stuff, but also I try and talk a lot about mental health as much as I can. And yeah, thank you guys for having me. I really enjoyed all of this and I'll definitely be listening to you guys moving forward.
I hope your community has even more respect for you than they did before, because what you went through, the resilience you found, the vulnerability to take care of the issue and to speak so freely about it, man, I have a lot of respect for you and admiration. And I'll definitely be watching this summer for sure.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the words. That means a lot, especially coming from two hosts that talk about this all the time. Yeah, really appreciate it.
And Jackson, you can come on and talk with us anytime you want. We're always going to
be
here.
Yeah, there we go. Maybe new youth host. We'll see.
Perfect. I love it. We do need another generation because Ryan's Gen X and I'm a millennial.
Yeah, I feel like I'm like, obviously there are people my age that talk about mental health this much, but I definitely talk about it a lot. Try and make sure I'm never going to stop talking about it because it's so important.
That's so impressive. And I respect the heck out of you for it.
Yeah, thank you.
And you speak from a place of a lot of wisdom, man. I'll tell you that. You definitely have a lot of wisdom.
Yeah, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. So
yeah, that's for sure. Jackson, thank you so much, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
That does it for Ryan and I on this episode of Hey Man, It's Okay. We want to one more time thanks Jackson for coming on and being vulnerable with us because that's what this is all about. And I had a great time. This podcast is really a labor of love. So I appreciate all of you for tuning in and watching us and listening to this conversation. If you've made it this far, thank you so much because we put a lot of work into this and it means so much to us. And we just want to share this positive message that it's okay to not be okay. So thanks for visiting Hey Man, It's Okay, everybody.
Don't forget to comment and subscribe. We want to hear from you guys. And thank you.
Check out our website, heymanitsokay.com. And until next time, it's okay to not be okay. Thanks, everybody.